Good morning. During the winter of 1864, it wasn't really at Christmas, but it was around Christmas time, the Confederate Army of Robert E. Lee faced the Union divisions of General Ulysses S. Grant at Petersburg, Virginia. Civil War had changed from the glorious charge and the quick war that it was going to be to now 3.5 years later, everybody's dug into the muck and mud of trench warfare. And the realization is setting in. This is not going to be quick. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. But late one evening, one of Lee's major generals, General George Pickett, received word that his wife had given birth to a baby boy. And so up and down, these huge bonfires began to erupt. I mean, they built these huge bonfires to celebrate the event of General Pickett's baby boy. But the fires, of course, didn't go unnoticed by the Northerners. And soon, a very nervous General Grant set out a scouting party, reconnaissance patrol, to see what the heck was going on. And the scouts returned with a message that General Pickett had had a son, and these were celebratory fires. It so happened that General Pickett and General Grant were students together, contemporaries at West Point. They knew each other actually very well. So, to honor the occasion, Grant, too, ordered that bonfires be built on their side of the lines. And so, it was a peculiar but yet beautiful night. For miles on both sides of the lines, fires burned. Not a shot was fired. No yelling back and forth. No war fought. Only light. A lot of light. Celebrating the birth of a child. Light and peace, celebrating the birth of a child. No, it didn't last long. Soon the fires burned down, and once again the darkness took over. The darkness of night, and also the darkness of war. Having celebrated the birth of Christ, the reading that is chosen for this, the post-Christmas Sunday, is the first chapter of John's Gospel. We've been actually in this section, this passage, for the last couple of Sundays, but we're continuing. Please turn, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. With him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So you ask, why this particular passage? It seems strange to be reading about God's Word coming into the world after hearing so much of the familiar story of the baby Jesus' birth in the manger, right? The baby Jesus' birth in the manger was such a human story. We all understood that. It was very real to us. It really hit us. It communicated to us God's love, our need for forgiveness, our need for being children of faith, literally. But now this coming of God's Word, it sounds too real, kind of, or ethereal maybe. Maybe too heavenly sounding for any earthly grounding, right? The Word came, we like the baby better. The Word kind of confuses us. The Word was from the beginning. The Word was God, and yet he came from God. I mean, that we have a hard time with that. But I believe that we can begin to appreciate John's word about the Word, calling a worldly activity that's engaged in Christmas. And I'm referring to buying and writing Christmas cards. How many of you buy and write Christmas cards? Christmas cards. Probably many of you, yeah. We all receive them, even if we're not too proficient at writing them or consistent at writing them. We all receive them, and it's fun to go through them and to see the changes in families. Buying Christmas cards can be a real expense for some. Some of them are not cheap, are they? They can be actually pretty ornate and pretty expensive. And if you've got a lot of friends, if you've got a lot of relatives, a lot of acquaintances, yes, it can be expensive just purchasing them. But then you have to also send them. And it's not as cheap as it used to be, is it? As we review the names on our Christmas list, we're probably going to send the more inexpensive, we'll say inexpensive, cards to the people who we know they're not real close friends, right? Or the relatives who perhaps aren't really close close relatives. And we're going to reserve the better cards and the very best, as the line from Hallmark says, for those who are good friends or close friends. Human sense. So what do we do? So what does all this have to do, with John chapter 1? Well, simply this. When John speaks about the Word as coming from God, he's telling us that God cared enough to send the very best, right? The very best to everyone. He didn't pick and choose. He didn't go cheap on some of us. No. The very best. God wanted to express exactly how he felt about us, each and every one of us, and realized that just not any word would do. God wanted the one word that conveyed his passion for us perfectly. And therefore, he chose to send the word. And Jesus is God's special word. Amen? He is his hallmark, we could say. When it comes to sending the best, there's nothing cheap about God. But if this alone were the message of John's gospel, that'd be enough. There's too much more to actually ponder than deal with this morning, but there is more to ponder. There's more that we can be thankful about. John is telling us something even more startling. Look at verse 3, if you would. Through him, all things were made. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. Now, does that include us? We are to become Christ-like, right? Kind of word-like. Matter of fact, as we are transformed by him, we do become words like him. Let's make a couple of observations on behalf of that startling statement there in verse 3. Number one, all of us have come to be through the Word. All of us have come to be through the Word, right? This means that each of us is a Word from and through the Word. And because we have come from and through the Word, we're not cheap either, are we? Christ gave his best. He gave all. And so we're not cheap, meaningless words. We all know from talking to people that too many don't think very much of themselves, especially if you're in a counselor of compassion, or if you're a mother, if you're a dear friend. We all know from talking that they don't value who they are. And unfortunately, preachers, whether it be in the pulpit or whether it be on TV, often preach of how sinful we are, not about how good Christ has made us. How good the transformation of Christ can make us. We fail to remind us that we are fundamentally good words, right? Good words. God spoke us into being, and he saw that all that he created, it was good. It was good. We are good words that come from the mouth of God. And so today, let's remember who we are. Not only is Christ the hallmark, but literally, we are hallmarks as well. if it boils right down to it. We have been adopted as children of God because of what Jesus, our brother, has done. We are brothers and sisters of Christ, right? Any less cheap? Not from God's eyes, no. And we have to be able to see that from our own eyes. So today, let's remember who we are. We're all God's hallmarks. We are God's children. We are brothers and sisters with Christ and with one another. God sent his word. It says there, he sent his word. He didn't hide his word. He wanted his word to be heard, right? He sent it in order to lighten up our lives. The word was the light and the life, it says. In him, Christ, we also have become words, words of light. And we're being sent as well, right? With that same message, with words. And if we choose to hide ourselves, then we're denying our identity as words sent to shine in the darkness. What John tells us later in his first letter, in 1 John chapter 1. That if we fail to realize who we are in him, that we are children, and we admit that, or we think that we don't have sin, that we're lying, right? We're still in darkness. But if we admit that we do have sin, now the light not only shines in us, but yes, it can shine through us into the world as well. And the message can continue. John's message to us is always timely, no matter when we read it, because we frequently lose sight of who we are and what we are called to be. But as then we reread John's messages, it lightens us again. It enlightens us again. His message is particularly appropriate during this season of light. God has sent his word. We too are words from God, God's hallmarks, and we are sent into the darkness of the world. We're reminded that he cares enough to send his very best. First, Jesus, his son, then us into the world. So in 2016, let's seek to be that best, the best that we can. How? Well, the only way we can do it is to seek God and seek a closer relationship with him. Because the only way that we can be at our best is if he is there being that best for us, right? If he has transformed us so that now he can work through us into his world. Because in us, there is no best. It's only as he comes and transforms and resides within us. We love because he first loved us. We can forgive because we have been forgiven. It all starts with God. And so it's only as we seek him that we can be the best that he desires. To be a Christian means many things. It means that success must be counterbalanced with service. Actually, success and service are kind of hand in glove when we view it appropriately. It also means that there is no making, there is no doing, there is no creating, there is no help, there is no service without first us receiving. Again, we have to have Christ within before we can be Christ-like and before we can be Christ-like to anybody else. So, all of this means that we are totally dependent vertically on whom? On God, through what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. We are also inter- or codependent horizontally with one another. We are tied in with one another, with each other. So the Christian success story, yes, is one of service. But it starts and it ends with Jesus Christ himself, because it is the story of Jesus Christ himself. It is the story of Jesus' ministry here on earth. He tasted the defeat of death. He drank the cup to empty. He made us stewards of his Father's love. He made us stewards of his Father's kingdom. And above all, he made us the stewards of his ministry, his service on earth, upon returning back to the right hand of the Father, right? And he's left us the simple message, the very best is always given. God's best is always given. The key is, if it's given, it is his best. We are the ones that need to give now. Give as he has given to us. There's a Christmas story of a small boy who shyly went before a department store clerk in the women's section. I would like to buy my mother a new blouse for Christmas, he shyly told the sales lady. Very nice, the clerk said, but first I have to know a little bit more about your mother. Tell me, is she short? Is she tall? And being a small boy, I mean, that's all kind of, yeah, she's tall. And he didn't really know how to answer because of, again, his perspective. So he kind of stuttered and stammered. But then he said, and it came out forcefully and clear, no, she's perfect. She is perfect, which means something totally different to the sales clerk. So the clerk wrapped up a blouse size 34 for him, because I guess in sales clerk, that's the perfect blouse for you ladies. He handed it to his mother. Merry Christmas! And a few days later, the mother returned the perfect 34 blouse and exchanged it for the size 52 that she really needed. But it didn't make her any less perfect, did it? No. No, not to him. So we may not fit the perfect size, but we are all perfect in what Christ has done for us. And we all have the perfect message, and it's that same message of Jesus Christ. We're all perfect for at least somebody that God has sent us to with that perfect message. And so we too are sent to another through God's word, with God's word, to keep God's word lighting up this darkness in this world. Secondly, we're also reminded that the Word of God has generated or has produced many other words, and that's us, and again, that we are to explain the one word, Jesus. So it's a different way of looking at the same message, different way of looking at that same point of service. You all remember ye old English Christmas carol, the 12 days of Christmas? How many sang that through at least once this year? Begins with a partridge in a pear tree and continues with two turtle doves, three French hens, four calling birds, five what? Come on. Oh, they even got it in the right. That's tempo. And then 11 pipers piping and 12 drummers drumming. Well, how many of you actually know that this was written in England as a catechism song? Actually, it was written as code to those who were in the catechism class, because it was at a time when the Catholics were not permitted to practice their faith openly, somewhere between 1558 and 1829. And so the partridge in the pear tree is code for Jesus. The two turtle doves is the Old and the New Testament. The three French hens is faith, hope, and charity. Four calling birds are the four Gospels of the New Testament. So on and so forth until the 12 drummers drumming are the 12 sacred points of belief in the Apostles' Creed. And so as they would say these, they would be reminded of these points of faith. So it was kind of in code. And it's interesting, and even the way that we say it, counting down to number one, who is whom, they all come down to Jesus. They all point. They're all bridges to number one, to Jesus Christ the Lord. To Jesus Christ the Lord. They're all words generated by, again, the one word. And they're all bridges leading back to the partridge in the pear tree, or perhaps upon the pear tree, Jesus. They're all bridges that bring the Word of God to the present at any time that it's said. It brings it to the present, and it makes it relative for our time and for our generation. As another word that can do that are great Christmas stories, like the story of Della and Jim. Many of you probably know Della and Jim. Do you remember the story about Della and Jim? Oh. Well, O. Henry wrote it. You probably heard it as The Gift of the Magi. But it's Della and Jim Young, who were young, but they were also very poor. Neither had enough to buy the other a proper Christmas gift. They saved for weeks because they focused on what it was that they truly wanted to give. And so they saved for weeks. And a weeks of saving have netted Della only $1.87 for her gift offering. They possessed a couple of things in which they took great pride. Jim had his gold watch. And he was proud of that gold watch because not only had it been his father's, but it has been his grandfather's before his father's. And Della was her what? Her hair. Her beautiful, long hair, which reached down below her knees and was the envy of any beauty queen. But out of Della's overpowering love for Jim emerged a solution to her problem of not having enough money for a gift for him. So she went and cut off her hair and sold it to a dealer. She got $20 for it, which was a lot of money. And with it, she bought a platinum watch chain for Jim's gold watch. It was an elegant replacement for the one that was worn out, the leather strap that Jim had had. And when Jim comes home, the gift is given to him. But he's too prepared. He's also prepared. And he's got a brightly wrapped present for Della. And when she unwraps Jim's gift, she sees an elaborate set of hair combs for which she's always yearned because it was a beautiful color that would match the shade of her hair, which was now gone. And when Jim tells her that he had sold his watch to pay for the present and opens up his present to see the chain, there's no tears of sadness, is there? There's smiles. There's understanding. They smile at each other contently, knowing the love the other has for the one. And he concludes the story with this. Two foolish children who most unwisely sacrifice for each other the greatest treasures of their house. But in a last word to the wise, let it be said that of all who give gifts, these two are the wisest. Of all who give and receive gifts, they are the wisest. They have grasped the meaning of, quote, the word made flesh, unquote. And they converted it into deeds of love, into service for one another. May we also grasp the meaning of the word made flesh. May we also be able to convert it into love, gifts of love, service of love, another today, and of course, every day of our lives. So, John's point in this beautifully stunning opening description of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is to tell us that He is God, that He is the eternal Word. He is the creator of everything. He's the revealer of life. He's the revealer of light, the light of God to this dark world. And because He is the eternal God, we should live in Him. We should submit everything in our lives to Him as the sovereign Lord. Because He is the Creator, we should worship Him as we see His handiwork in what He has made, including, again, ourselves. If His life is in us, then our salvation is secure, right? And because He is our life, we should be filled with hope because we will spend eternity with Him. And lastly, because He is our light, we should let Him shine into every decision we make and into every area of our lives and even outside of our lives, into the lives of those who we are around, those whom we love, to those whom we've been sent to shine the light and to spread the word. Beloved, If you want to know God, truly know God, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Why? Because he is the eternal Word of God. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your gift, your great, glorious gift that keeps on giving. Yes, your hallmark. Through him, of course, your love is understood most fully. But help us to more fully understand our function, our service, then, out of that love. It's written in your word, about your word, Jesus, and him being born and what he did in his life, the service that he gave to others, which culminated, obviously, in the ultimate service, his death on the cross, on our behalf, so that we can now go out, be his words, be his service, be his deeds of love. So help us to understand that this year to come, Lord God, and make it the best year of service that we each one of us has had so far, and yet just the beginning of what it will be in the future. Thank you again for that babe born in Bethlehem in the manger, who is the eternal Word, who is the greatest gift of love. And in his name we pray, amen.